Sarah today. And one of the things that I want to make mention of is that we have unexpected events in our lives. Each of us have those that happen. Some of those are major changing factors in our lives. Some of those, they really don't matter all that much. Some of those we're kind of expecting, but then other ones we're not really expecting. Some of the times we put ourselves in places to have unexpected events, and other times it's totally out of the blue do we find ourselves in an unexpected event. One of the unexpected events that happened in my life was somewhat involved in interning in Rapid City, South Dakota. I was a junior in college, and I was looking for an internship in between my junior and senior year of college. And I had two possibilities. I can't tell you what the one was, but another one was in Rapid City, South Dakota, working with Mark Butcher. Now, he had talked to me about being here 6 months, and I really didn't necessarily want to be gone my senior year, and so I wasn't planning on interning for 6 months. I debated back and forth, thought about that, and so I remember making the phone call to Mark, and I was going to let him know I'm not going to intern for 6 months, and thank you for the offer. And in that phone call, I said, you know, I appreciate it, but I really don't want to miss some of my senior year, and so I'm just going to decline. And quickly after I said that, he said, well, how about just come for the summer? I wasn't planning on that. I thought it was a 6 month or nothing, so I thought, well, it's not going to happen. But sure enough, I said, well, could I get back to you on that? And he said, you can. I said, how long do I have? And I think it was like only a couple days. He said, you can have a couple days. And I was like, okay. And so I went ahead, and I came to Rapid City. That was an unexpected planned thing in my life that happened. Another unexpected thing that happened was I was asked to be an usher at a wedding, and so I went to that wedding. It was December 19th, I believe, of 1999, and in so doing, I was at the wedding, and as I was at the rehearsal dinner, there was a gal by the name of Mandy Hofer that sat down across from me and said, "What are you looking for in a wife?" I was single at the time. Totally unexpected that Mandy Hofer would talk to me. There might be a couple of you that know Mandy Hofer, but many of you do not even know who she is. But I didn't know who she was either until that day. But she said, well, I got this lady that'll be perfect for you. And so unexpectedly, I met Manel, and here I am today. Yes. You can clap for that, yeah. We each have those events that happen that are unexpected. And again, some of those are life-changing, and some of those, okay, it's not a major deal. You're going to have those this week in your life. You're going to have an unexpected event that takes place, and you're going to be like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. How did this happen? God knows about it. And so today we look at the life of Sarah. Talk about an unexpected event in her life. And so I ask you, do you look for the unexpected of what God is doing? If you join me in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to be reading verses 11 and 12. And if you have a pew Bible in front of you and in one of the racks, it's on page 1008, or you can follow on the screen behind me, or maybe you have some kind of a gadget, or maybe you brought your own Bible. Feel free to follow along in whatever way, or just listen. Here's what it says. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Again, we go back to this, and if you've been with us, you know that I'm going to come back to this probably, and I'm going to say it's by faith. That's what each of these start by. By faith, Sarah. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm hoping that each of you someday will be exactly where Hebrews 12:1 says there's other people, and that is in the great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us surround, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked before us. That's where we all want to be. And that's where Sarah is. She's in the great cloud of witnesses. And this is what it says, by faith, Sarah. Now, you probably have identified this, but if you haven't, the first lady mentioned in the Hall of Faith is Sarah. Now, there must be a reason for that. The only other lady mentioned by name in the Hall of Faith is Rahab. Now, I think it's kind of interesting. Now, it says a little bit later that by faith, women, but it doesn't give anybody else, any other ladies' names. Isn't this interesting? Sarah was commended because she had a child. Rahab was identified, and her lifestyle, well, you look in the Bible a little bit. Her lifestyle wasn't one that you'd be like, oh, her lifestyle's not one of those. Millie and Naya, my two daughters, when you grow up, I want you to be just like Rahab. No, that wasn't one of those. It was like, no, she didn't live a very good lifestyle, but she was in the hall of faith. God can use whomever, and God can use women. Sometimes we might seem to think that I'm of this gender or I'm of this gender, and so God can't use me or God can't use you, and this is wrong. God uses women. Scripture tells us that we're made in the image of God. Male and female, He created them. God uses women. We could debate back and forth about what this looks like, and quite honestly, there are some people who can get kind of fired up about this. You might know some of them. Well, you're a lady, you can't do that. Well, you're a guy, you can't do that. Well, God uses people how He wants to use them. But what kind of woman does God use? Obviously, a woman of faith. I think back to a couple of stories from the Gospels that identify women. One of those was a lady who had been subject to the flow of blood for 12 years. And she was persistent. The crowd had gathered around Jesus, and she was persistent because she said, if I could just touch the edge of His cloak, I will be healed. And so she pushed her way through. She was kind of pushy, and she got to Jesus, and she touched the edge of His cloak, and He said, who touched me? And this is what Jesus says to that lady, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I think of another lady. The story is actually in Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to go back there real quick. You can turn with me there if you'd like as well. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a Canaanite woman. And she had a daughter who was severely oppressed by a demon. And she just continued to press upon Jesus. And she continued to say, help me, help me. And Jesus gives some interesting verbiage to her, but I love what it says in verse 28. This is what Jesus says. He says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Hear me in this. I think men can be men of faith. But I think women have a different kind of tenacity in their faith than maybe men do. I think it's exemplified in different ways. Of course, I understand Zacchaeus. He climbed a tree to see Jesus. I understand blind Bartimaeus was there and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. But there's something about some of you women that are just tenacious. And I think God uses that. I think that God uses that in a mighty way. Ladies, live for the Lord. By faith, Sarah. Sarah herself. Then I love this phrase, and maybe you want to underline it in your Bible, or maybe you just want to write it down. By faith, Sarah received the power to conceive. Received the power to conceive. This was and is still a major issue for women. Not every woman, but I think the majority, and I would say the high majority of women, want to have a child of their own, a baby in the womb. in the Jewish culture, in the culture of the day, to not have a baby was a curse. We see in the Old Testament the story of Hannah and how she really wanted a baby. And so she went to the altar and she was praying. She was praying so much that Eli the priest came in and said, "Hey, you need to quit drinking too much wine. You're drinking too much." And, "I'm not drinking too much wine. I'm just passionate before the Lord." She wanted a baby. God can open the womb. God can close the womb. What an incredible ability that women have, not men, to have a little one. Men, we don't even have the option. Now, I know in the society of our day, in our changing culture, and there are many who have confused gender understanding. We have men that want to be women and women wanting to be men, and I don't understand that all myself. However, even if they're wanting to change their genders, there are many surgeries and many hormone treatments that have to happen, and then that's not really a much success. God gave Sarah as a woman the power to conceive. Now, I don't understand why God doesn't give that power to every lady. Some ladies aren't married. And so, according to what I believe the Bible says, we should be married and then you should pursue children. Others have been married, but God hasn't opened their womb yet. I don't understand that. And I don't understand how sometimes there's an irresponsible lady that gets pregnant and she leaves from the hospital and you're like, "Oh man, what's the deal here?" When there's some capable women that aren't able to get pregnant. I don't understand that. However, it's life. But by faith, Sarah was able to conceive. And may I say this, children are a blessing from the Lord. Imagine this, some of you being 89, 90 years of age, having a little kid. As a reminder, children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, I do want to say this for just a moment here. There are some of you in this room that you may be saying, "I'm sure glad Pastor Steve's preaching this message today because I want more kids." And so you as a woman might be elbowing your husband saying, "Hey, would you listen to him?" Or you might be on the other side of the spectrum of a lady and you might be saying, "Hey, I don't want any more kids. Don't be listening to him." Or vice versa. If you're a man in the room, you might be saying, "I'm glad somebody's finally telling my wife we need more kids." Or you may be saying, "I hope my wife doesn't hear this today. This is not a good thing." Children are a blessing from the Lord. And actually, I am not saying that this something that you're not expecting, an unexpected thing. It may be kids. It may not be kids. And so if you came this morning saying, "Well, I'm not planning on having any children," God works in other ways that it may not be by children. But for Sarah, it was. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. By faith, Sarah conceived late. Now, most women, as you know, are not having children in their 50s. It happens. Actually, if you look online, you can find who's the oldest lady, and the lady's name was Maria del Carmen Bosta de Lora. She was like 66 years of age having a child. Anybody here 66 years of age that wants to have been through your 66 years of age and have a kid? Wouldn't that be fun? They've also said there's another lady that maybe is in her 70s, but having a baby after 50 is uncommon. It's also unusual and usually high risk. Sarah was 89. Wouldn't that be something? Let's see. I think we have a couple that might be above 89, but just think about that. Several of you are not even close to 89 yet. There's a reason why God allows kids to be born when you're younger, because as you grow older, some of you have a good amen for this, you're tired. And you think about trying to get down on the floor with a kid, you could get down there, but you'd have a tough time getting back up. This is when you would say, "God, I would rather go to Africa than to be pregnant at 89. God, I'd rather live in a tent in the middle of winter than be pregnant right now at age 89. And even as a dad, Abraham was in his 90s. Now, not too many men are saying goo-goo and gaga. Well, actually, there are some men in their 90s that are doing that, but not for a baby. No wonder that Genesis says that both Abraham and Sarah laughed. But even despite her laughter, she conceived. I encourage you to look at this phrase. I think it's a powerful phrase, and I don't know if you're into underlining your Bibles or not, but here's what it says. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Do you consider the Lord faithful? I love what the King James says. Maybe you have the King James, but here's what the King James renders it. It says, she judged him faithful. Think on this for just a moment. We all know that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, but we're not going to be the ones doing the judging. God is. But here it flips it around. Sarah judged God. Think on that. And you know how she judged God? She judged him faithful. Wow. Do you judge God faithful in whatever circumstance you're going through? I hope that you do. The next time that something comes up to you and causes you that worry, that fear, that concern, that overwhelming burden, you just repeat these words. God, you can say, I judge you faithful. Don't do it this way because I don't think that's what it's meaning by any means. I judge you faithful. No, I judge you faithful. I consider you faithful. And so because you are faithful, I believe that you're going to continue to work something good through this. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Exodus 34, 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Is God faithful? Sure he is. And be like Sarah and consider God faithful. In verse 12, we go on, therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. Abraham was old. And again, you might want to underline this one. It was said that he was as good as dead. That's an interesting phrase for me. And I wonder in your life, is there something in your life that you think is just as good as dead? There is no life that can come from that. Maybe a situation or maybe a circumstance, and you're like, it's just dead. There's no possible hope. There's no possibility. Now, some of you are miracle workers in my mind. Some of you can look at an engine, or you can look at a weed eater, or you can look at a lawnmower, and then you can just go to work with that thing, and you get a new spark plug, or you clean the carburetor, you put in some good gas, or you change the oil, and then all of a sudden, vroom, and I look at you, and I'm like, how in the world do you do? I don't know how to do that. Some of you just do that. Well, let's tinker with this, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, you may have tossed a wrench in all of that, by the way, in some of that. But all of a sudden, that once was rusty and clanky, all of a sudden it roars to life. God did this for Abraham. He was 99. He was pretty much used up. He was old. But God does the miraculous. He goes beyond age. Age doesn't hold God. So though Abraham was very old, God used this man and this woman to have a child. Now let me go to the other end of the spectrum for just a moment because there's some younger ones in the room. Younger ones here, younger ones here, younger ones back there, younger ones here, younger ones back there, younger ones here, younger ones here. You don't have to wait till you're 99 to be used by God. And sometimes God impresses something on your life and you think, but nobody's going to listen to me. I'm 8, I'm 7, I'm 12, I'm 14. Who listens to a 14-year-old? But when God brings something on your heart and your life, you pray about it and God can use you. Hear me in that. Those of you who are under 18, God can use you. Even if you're 22, you can extend that whatever. But God doesn't just say, well, I've mentioned this before. You're this certain age, and so that's when it is. Abraham was old. Sarah was old. And yet he said, here, have a little baby. It says there were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. You may choose to come here tomorrow night and watch the fireworks. You may watch the fireworks somewhere else. I encourage you when you're watching fireworks before they go off, if it's dark enough, you just start counting the stars. Just start counting them. You'll never get them all counted. That's how many descendants came from this one crazy thing that Abraham and Sarah had a little baby. Some of you have been able to go to the beach. We're limited on our beaches here in South Dakota, of course. But if you go to Angostura and you stand on the beachfront, there's a bunch of sand. Just take some time and count the sand. You'll never do that. This is what happened because God says, yeah, you're 99, you're 89, no big deal. I can work outside of that. And he did. God told an old man and an old woman, if I can call them old, I think I can, watch out. What an unexpected thing. But is anything really unexpected when God is in it? Charles Spurgeon, you've probably heard of that name, was a great preacher in the 1800s. His grandfather's name was James, and he and his wife had a large family and were not wealthy, and he happened to be a preacher. And one day their cow died. Now, for many of you, that's not a major deal, but for them it was a big deal because that was a lot of milk for their family. Mrs. Spurgeon was greatly distressed, and James said this, God said he would provide, and I believe he could send us 50 cows if he pleased. He didn't know that. He didn't know this, but there was a group in London meeting, and James didn't know them, but they were rounding up some money, and they were getting some money for some pastures, and they gave out all the money they had, and they had 5 pounds left. Someone said, well, let's give James 5 pounds, but then somebody else said, let's give him a little more, and so they collected more, and they came up with 20 pounds, and they gave him that money. Now, if you look today, 20 pounds is about $40. Now, $40 isn't going to go a whole lot in today's society. that might feed you over lunchtime. But $40 in the 1800s was a lot of money. And boy, did it help them. You've got to hear something else in this message. Therefore, one man and him as good as dead. If you're sitting in the congregation this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to tell you that you're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in your sins. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Nobody wants to be dead. Everybody wants to be alive. And so that's where Christ comes in. And it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. Many have said this. Well, no way. You don't understand, Pastor Steve. I am not good. Guess what? God can touch you. And though you be as good as dead, God can raise you up and bring you into new life. Now, hear me for just a moment, because I know several of you have prayed before and you've asked Jesus into your life. Do you understand? Do I understand? I don't think I truly understand this. And I don't know that you truly understand this, but let me try to just say, do you understand if you have a friend, if you have a neighbor, if you have a coworker that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, that they're dead in their sins? Now, some of you are like, I know that because I see what they do. They're dead. They don't have any life. And you have the opportunity to say, though you're dead in your sins, you can have life in Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's good news. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, the prodigal son, here's what the dad said. My son was dead and is now alive again. Though you may feel emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, relationally as good as dead, God can bring life. Here's what a commentator says. Faith is the ability to lay hold on that grace which is sufficient for all things in such a way that the things which are humanly impossible become divinely possible. With God, all things are possible, and therefore the word impossible has no place in the vocabulary of the Christian, and of the Christian church. By faith, Sarah received the power to conceive. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful. And Abraham, even though he was as good as dead, raised up. And there were many descendants that came after him. So what seems beyond you? I asked the question, what's unexpected? Is there something that's unexpected that's going to happen? What seems beyond you? Know that God can work in the unexpected. I asked the question, what seems as good as dead to you? What seems just like, there is no hope? From the scripture today, have great hope, because even though it seems as good as dead, Christ in it can live and Christ can raise up. Here's a song. This is what it says. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives. He lives. Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Stand with me, please, as we close in prayer today. I'd love for you to bow your heads and close your eyes today. I'm going to ask for a response today. I'm not going to ask you to come forward unless you really want to come and you want to kneel. But as I've been preaching today, maybe there's something in your life and you just want to seal it with the Lord. And you would just say that there's something you just feel like is as good as dead. And you really haven't had much hope. But as I've been sharing this morning from God's Word, you want to consider Him faithful. Consider God faithful in this and trust Him for that. And if that's you today, if there's something in your life with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you just want to raise your hand up and down and say, it's me, Pastor Steve, today it's me, and I think it's as good as dead. But yet I'm trusting the Lord and I'm considering Him faithful. If that's you, you just raise your hand up and down. And I will see your hand and so will the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for the hands that have been raised. It's not over yet, Lord. It's not over yet. And you can do a miraculous work. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray for the hands that have been raised today, that you would raise up whatever that is. And though we say, sure seems like it's dead, that you would bring life out of it, and you would bring your grace and your peace. Thank you, God, for hearing this, and we just trust you for that. Lord Jesus, I pray also for the unexpected. Give us a great week of unexpected results. Lord Jesus, help us to be ready for those unexpected things that can change us and can move us. May we be alive in you. And God, I pray for somebody here this morning, if they've been dead in their trespasses, dead in their sins, may they receive you today and be alive in you. Thank you for the life that you give us. And now, Lord Jesus, go before us today. Give us a great day of rest. I pray that we would take this as a Sabbath. Help us to be restful and worshipful. Thank you for those who have come out to worship you on this day. And I pray that you would go before us. And now, Lord Jesus, may you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path each step of our way. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.